Hello, good morning, tribe. It is Q&A day, which means if you're listening to this right now, you're probably listening to the replay, unless it is 9 a.m. on Thursday, May the 16th. So if it's any time after that, I see a lot of times people will post in the comments if they're trying to watch this on Facebook Live or on Facebook, they can't decide whether this is a live or if this is a replay. So 9 a.m., May 16th. I'm coming to you live. Anytime after that, you're probably listening to the replay, especially if it's in the Private Member Podcast. Somebody asked the other day, were some of those lives? And it's like, no, none of those are live. Those are all recordings. So if you want to ask a question, just use hashtag ask. And until we get some questions, I'm going to just give you guys an update on a few things, and then we will be ready to rock and roll. I'm going to get into the right channel. First, if you are wanting to come to the 3-day transformation weekend with me, there are only 3 spots left as of this moment. So we opened it up, I think it was last Saturday, and 47 of the 50 are gone. So I just want to make sure everybody hears it, because if you're coming, don't diddle, because then you're going to be rolled over to a wait list. And these kinds of weekends, people rarely cancel. So we are not doing another one of these this entire year. On June 1st is when the large camp will open. There will be 300 spots available for that one. So that one will be the first weekend in October. So that will be you and your tribe sisters rocking with me, coaching like banshees. And we do a little partying. We do a lot of community, a lot of connecting, a lot of digging around. And I do a lot of worksheets with you guys. And I do a lot of coaching and teaching to the big group. The Transformation Weekend is a lot more intimate and personal, because I have 3 whole days plus evenings with you guys to do a lot of work. So if you guys have some questions, make sure that you post, because if we don't have questions, we're going to get out of here. Let me tell you guys what's coming up next month. One of the things that I'm working on right now is a course. So my teacher teaches a concept called buffering, which is basically it's overeating, overdrinking. It's doing something to respond to an urge. So you have an urge to overeat, you have an urge to drink, you have an urge to spend money, whatever it is. And buffering is when you say, yes, I'm going to overeat. Yes, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be teaching about basically urges next month. So if you've been struggling with following your plan and stuff, it's not just a how to follow your plan. It's going to be, we're going to take a month of a deep dive. I got to take my glasses off. These, I think, have a scratch on them or something, and it's driving me crazy. We are going to do a deep dive into urges, why we have them, how they got started, how to process them, and how to start working on them. A lot of y'all, the reason why you keep responding to them has everything to do with you don't understand why they began to begin with, and you've overcomplicated it. You're tying all of it into I just coached someone who's overeating right now. And when you make it about your self-worth, and you make it about like your past, and you make it about all these other things, here's what you're not making it about: your ability to sit there when you want to eat. It's a distraction. And being able to separate all that out is what we're going to really focus in on next month. So I'm really looking forward to it. I have been researching like crazy. I think I've read or listened to, I'm on my 4th book, and I have also been diving deep into a lot of the work, of past work and everything, going back through old content that when I got certified and stuff, to really understand this, because I know that this is a big deal, especially for binge eaters. So all of us who overeat or who emotionally eat, we're going to really work on it. I think that's just something amazing to work on for June. And then to give you a preview of July, where I'm going to be calling July the month of the gift of fat. We are going to collectively lose weight in the month of July. And I'm going to teach you how to set a goal, how to create a plan. I mean, not that we don't do that already in the tribe, but it's going to be a very focused month on it, on just like, this is what we're doing, and we're going to have movement goals. We're going to it's the month to challenge ourselves. So whereas most of the time what we're doing is we're working on the skills around all of that, this month we are working on, Some of the books are no longer in print, Tracy, and they're like proprietary stuff, so that's why I'm not giving them out. It's just like stuff that that like I got from someone online and things like that. But one of the books that's really good is The Brain Over, is it Brain Over Binge is really good. And one of the other ones is the Food and Feelings Workbook. I have used Food and Feelings Workbook before in some of our other stuff, and I'm going to be using it as a deeper dive into some feelings work we're going to do in the future. But that book is actually really good if you have a very hard time with your feelings. It like gets you in touch with them. It teaches you more about processing feelings and things like that. Brain Over Binge separates feelings from that out. What it does is it talks more about the like how to deal with urges. And that is what we're going to do next month. So I'm using that. And then I've been listening to an Ayurvedic book that I don't know the name of it. It's on my phone. But just in the sense of just some tools on how important it is for like this, just the general self-care, like I teach, like staying hydrated and getting plenty of sleep and stuff. So we've just been combining lots of different studies and stuff to kind of come up with my own, like, this is the most important things you guys should know. Get the workbook version of Brain Over Binge. So she has a book that she wrote and she has a workbook that goes with it. I'm actually using the workbook. And anybody who's binge eating, you may want to go through it. It will like next month's stuff will tie perfectly into all of it, but it will give you like a deeper context. And like, I'm going to teach like the overview, but it goes deeper into everything that I'll be teaching you. What else was I going to say? It seemed like I was saying something else before that. But oh, the month of the gift of FAP. It's my birthday. So everybody's going to give me some weight loss for my birthday. That's how we're going to roll. So I'm going to teach you guys how to set your own goal, how to challenge yourself, how to level. It's the month of leveling up. It's going to be the month of working through it when we don't want to work through it. It's going to be a special month, but I'm going to go into a lot more about it later. But just to kind of give you a preview as to these are the exciting things coming up the next 2 months as a tribe. A lot of you will be finishing up No BS, but these are going to just be the things that will just kind of keep your momentum going, keep you learning more. If you're, you know, even if you're struggling, these are the things that help backfill some of the areas that you're struggling in. For those of you who are doing well, it's like, okay, here's the next thing I'm going to learn. So it really ties in well for both types of people. For the people who are still trying to get their shit together, it's like, oh, maybe this is like, this might be the, as they used to call it when we were teaching Logan, that his brain was like Swiss cheese. He had just had lots of holes in it. And I think it is such a good analogy because they would just tell us there's nothing he can't learn. There's nothing that he can't do, but we got to fill the holes. And I think the same thing happens with our weight loss and our overeating. We have a lot of holes in our brain as it comes to, you know, how we think about food, how we think about ourselves, how we interpret the world, our relationship with food, our relationship with just our emotions. Like, there's so many things. So I'm always trying to like pull one concept at a time. And it's like, oh, this one was a missing piece. Let's plug that hole. And then the next month we have something else. Like, oh, and this comes at it from this way. Just think all the different ways that we can come at our weight loss and our journey. It just starts making all the difference. I know for me personally, that is like when I look back on my journey of losing 100 pounds, it is because I came at my weight loss from so many different angles than I ever had before. I had always just went on a diet, expected the diet to do the heavy lifting. But what I didn't do was come at it from learning how to believe in myself, learning how to be uncomfortable, learning how to do things when it just felt so painful to do it, learning how to be hungry and not eat when I was upset, learning how to like go out to eat with people and not feel weird that I was, you know, eating my, you know, healthy meal and not judging myself and wondering what other people were going to be thinking about. Like I had like learning how to just get on the scale in a healthy way. Like I had to like stop expecting the diet to do the work. I had to like start doing all the work so that the healthier I ate, the easier it was to lose the weight. I was really good at losing weight in an unhealthy way. And then I wanted to learn how to do it in a healthy way and be really good at keeping the weight off. So, all right, here's some questions. I want to go deeper with my TDLs. I tend to write summaries of the day, suggestions on how to level up my quality. Every day, let's start with the top three feelings you had today. My top three feelings were wine. Or the one negative emotion that I felt or refused to feel today was wine. That will help you like bust through a lot in your TDLs. Just starting with how you felt for the day rather than this is what happened today. Here's my executive overview of my day. Or like pick one thing like, I wish this had went different and why. Like things like that will always open up some stuff in your thought downloads to kind of find some niggly thoughts underneath there. Is it normal for my plus two to fluctuate? I feel like some days I'm hungrier than others and it takes longer to reach my plus two some days versus others. Yes, that's very normal. Your plus two is not a mental construct. Your plus two is you paying attention to what your physical body is sending you. So some days you're going to have like higher energy requirements in your body and your body will send you those signals. Is April baby, circumstances, I put a piece of chocolate cake on Mother's Day plan, ate it, enjoyed it. Thought was, I want more. There won't be any left. I'll start over tomorrow. Ate it. Can you give me a replacement thought for this diet head? Yeah, like I won't, let's see. So here's how your model went. You had your cake. Your thought was, I planned it. You felt like solid. You ate the cake. You ate what you planned. Then what happened was I ate what I planned became the circumstance. The next thought is where you started out. Okay. So I just want to kind of lay out your model for you since you guys are doing models a lot this week. The next model goes to, there won't be any left tomorrow. And then that's when you're just going to have to say, I know that's what I'm thinking, but that's okay. Like that's where it's just going to be like, I'm willing for there not to be any more tomorrow. Like it's, I think what you're looking for, and this is where everybody falls into the intentional model trap. I want the thought that's going to make it feel easy. Like, oh, I would never have wanted cake if I had that thought. No, here's what I want you to do. I want you to create an intentional thought that says, I'm not going to overeat. So like the action is don't overeat. The feeling is going to have to be determined, or it's going to have to be uncomfortable, or it's going to have to be restless. It's going to have to be jittery. Is this going to have to be something like that? Because part of losing weight is not replacing all of your thoughts so that you're just happy all the time. Losing weight, like in life in general, is about figuring out the uncomfortable emotions that you normally, like you didn't want to feel deprived. You didn't want to feel like you were missing out. Like it's probably deprivation was like the main thing. It's like, oh, if I don't have more, I'm going to be deprived. It's like, yeah, you're going to have to feel deprived if in order for you to feel happy, it requires two pieces of cake versus just one planned piece. Can't lose weight never feeling deprived. Guys, you're going to have to feel deprived a lot to lose weight. You're going to get good at feeling it though, because it's part of it. There's a difference between deprivation from a place of like, I'm not allowed to eat. I'm going to have to take everything away from myself. That's one version, and that's not the version we do. What I want you to do is just to be like, yeah, I want two pieces of cake, but that's not on the plan, and that doesn't get a small ass. Now's the time for it to suck a little. I've already had my fun. Now's the time for the not fun piece. That's the model that you need to go into. And deprivation doesn't suck. Bonnie, no. Here's the thing. You can't judge your feelings. There's no good or bad feelings. There's just all these feelings. Some of them don't feel as good as others, but it's not the feeling's fault for not being as attractive as this one. It'd be like, hey, well, there's just some people that are fucking ugly. It's like, we're not going to walk around. Like, how would that ever serve us as a human race? It doesn't. And when the people who do have that thought, it doesn't serve the human race. It's like, there are just some humans that are like strikingly beautiful. And there are just some humans who are just human. That's what I want you guys to feel about your feelings. Because if you sit there and you say like deprivation sucks, like your judgment on what those feelings are is going to sit there and make you not embrace them. So like if you have thoughts about feelings, like I want y'all, like for some of you, need to make a list of the feelings that you're going to need to require, like to have to feel. And tell yourself, that's not going to be hard because it sucks. It's going to be hard because I judge that feeling as intolerable. I'm learning how to do it. Like, I had some deprivation yesterday. Like, seriously, it was one of those days where I just had stuff going. I had to keep missing a meal. And I was hungry. And I want to tell you, my thoughts were, I don't like this. I kept thinking, I don't like this. I just kept saying, look, you got one more call. You're going to have to wait. You're going to have to be hungry. I felt super uncomfortable, but I had to keep shutting it down because I wasn't going to get to eat until about 3 o'clock. I just didn't have, I refused to scarf my food down. And that's what I told myself. If you want to go scarf some food down so that you don't feel deprived and it's unfortunate that your schedule's so busy, that's one thing. But don't sit here and act like a big ass baby about it because it doesn't serve you. I just told myself, I'm going to make it just fine. It just feels bad because I keep thinking about it. That's all. And that's one of the things I want you guys to think about is like in your affective models, you know, a lot of the times, guys, your affective model is the feeling you're willing to feel. Most of you are like trying to avoid any negative emotions. It's like, how can you be deprived? How can you choose to feel deprived? Like, here's the difference. Deprived would be, see, I'm dieting and I can't have that. Or feeling deprived is, I'm prepared to really want cake because I've already had a piece, but I don't need it. You're going to know that you're going to feel deprived. But you're going to be okay. It's a different level of feeling it. It's like feeling it on purpose and allowing yourself to grow through it so that in the future, you don't always have these automatic thoughts coming in. That like, I need it. You don't need it. But you have to teach yourself that you don't need it. You don't know, you don't feel that yet. You still feel as if you need it because you've thought it for a long time. What we do here in Tribe is so much more important than what they ever do anywhere else in a diet. We deconstruct all of your thought processes around the things that are going on. We deconstruct your judgments and what you've been thinking about all this time around food. Like most of you think you're not supposed to ever feel deprived. And I'm like, that is some bullshit. You're not supposed to feel deprivation because you think you're not worthy. You need to feel deprivation because you don't need 2 pieces of cake. You have to rationalize, I have already had plenty. I'm only feeling deprived because in the past, I've ate more than I needed. That is a whole different level of being able to start feeling feelings of like, oh, this is what they mean when you feel the feelings of like all of it and being willing to feel all of it. And you start getting good at being able to feel them. Then when they come up, you don't feel like your skin is burning off. You don't feel like you can't handle it anymore. You don't think, oh, if I feel deprived, I'm going to go off the rails. It's like, no, you're going to start practicing deprivation by saying, I'm having cake, but I don't get to. And I'm going to talk to myself about how I've had a planned exception. And this is the part I'm breaking this habit of eating more and talking myself into it. For a lot of you who binge, that's why I have you guys do some planned binges sometimes. It's like you just start off with like what you normally would eat and then you talk to yourself through it. When you do it consciously, this is what we're really doing. We're just raising your level of consciousness out of what most of you do, which is eat the cake and then just like, oh, I just want more. And you just go unconscious and start eating. And then the next day you're saying, fuck it. And you're depriving yourself of joy and pride and feeling in control. You're suffering your deprivation on the back end when it has no payoff. When I'm just wanting you to experience some deprivation on the front end, talking to yourself in a new way that has a lot of payoff on the back end. I was wondering about sodium. I know we don't count calories or macros, but do you suggest checking your sodium? I think I had too much this week plus PMS issues. Do you have a suggested range? I don't count any of it, so I don't. If you're concerned about it, I would just see a doctor. For me, and I personally am the worst person in the world to ask, I have diabetes insipidus, which is nothing they have to fix, but it's basically where your body doesn't like to hold sodium. So you pee like crazy. You drop stuff all the time. That's why I have very low blood pressure. It's why I get dizzy so easy when I stand up. So I have to be really careful, and I have to salt things like a deer. Where's my salt lick? And I will tell you, 95% of all my cravings, I can always tell when my electrolyte light is out of balance because my sodium balance goes down real fast. I crave all the salty things. Like I could just like take salt and just go to town. When does stage two come along? 14 days straight on plan, one planned overeat longer than I've gone before. It just eventually happens. But here's the thing, guys. Let me explain the stages. Everybody will go through stage two, but it's not like it's your judgment of it will make it feel like ass. How long you stay in it and how it feels will always be determined upon your thoughts about it. So stage one is just where we're just blissfully unaware. It's like, oh, we're excited and all this other stuff. Stage two is where we're super conscious of everything we're doing. And we're not only super conscious, but we're super conscious of everything we're doing right and everything we're doing wrong. And we're watching everything. We're having to redirect our brain and we're aware of all of our thoughts. And it's just like, it's a lot of awareness. And a lot of times with awareness comes a lot of judgment. So if you can separate out your personal judgment, it makes stage two a lot easier. It's that judgment that comes in that makes it feel so intolerable that makes you want to quit. If you take the judgment out of stage two, it is just a very exhausting process. It's not feeling bad. It's tiring because it's like, oh, wow. I didn't realize I had all these thoughts. Oh, wow. Like, is it normal to have to tell myself 5,000 times a day that we're not going to eat tonight? It's like, yeah, it's very normal. It's like all of that happens. When you move to stage three, is when you start noticing that you start kind of believing in things a little bit. And some of the stuff that you had to really deliberately work at now is becoming a little bit more automatic. You're still having to be conscious. You're still having to like think through things, but you're not having to like, you know, like it's not your total focus. And then stage four is where it's just like, you know, you become a regular planner. You're just doing things. And then when you make mistakes, you just get right back up and you just keep going. In stage two, what happens is, it's really the judgment of stage two that makes it so hard. Because when you're in stage two, you're going to make a lot of mistakes because you are learning a lot, you're being aware a lot, and if you're not very comfortable with making mistakes and figuring things out and having your own back, stage two becomes more painful because of your thoughts about yourself. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this, and you know, I'm such a fuck up. And if you're still married to the idea that it's hard for you, if you're still married to the idea of your past being evidence of whether or not you're going to be able to lose weight, then everything that goes on in stage two will prove your core beliefs. See, I didn't think you could lose weight. You like blew past your two. See, I didn't think you could lose weight because on Mother's Day, you had two pieces of cake instead of just the one. Like your brain will go to work on trying to prove it because what it wants to do is it wants to quit being so aware of everything. And rather than being like, okay, the best way to quit being aware of everything is to form the habit, to keep going, to let it become a habit. The worst way to make the awareness go away is to quit and go back to exactly what you were doing until you're fucking miserable again and have to start a new diet and go search for a new one and get the excitement ginned up again and pay more money. That's like the longest way ever to lose some weight. But a lot of us get on that merry-go-round. I'm going to like get excited about this one. I'm going to do it for a little bit. The second the problems start happening, I'm going to judge myself. And I'm going to judge myself until I quit. Then I'm going to have a free-for-all for a little bit because that feels good until it doesn't feel good anymore. Then my judgment comes back. And then I go look for another diet. I find a diet so I can get excited. I do that for a little bit. And then it just keeps going and going and going. The key to stage two is knowing that the moment it starts getting really hard and stuff is to start pulling out your self-judgment, working on how you judge yourself. That will help you in all of your life. And then it allows that habit to keep forming, the new one. And then eventually what happens is shit starts working and you start believing, your confidence starts building. And you've transitioned out of into stage three. For a lot of you who like are really dedicated to working on your self-talk, and you're just like, you know what, from the get-go, Corinne, I've been listening to you. I am not going to beat myself up over stuff. Stage two is like a blip on the radar. That you'll just have like a day where you'll make a mistake and you'll feel terrible about it. And you'll be like, nope, but I'm going to keep going. And you may never feel any more terrible than that. Stage two, the easiest way to get out of it is just to keep going. It has results at the end of the tunnel. I've learned through the TDLs that I don't know how to relax without food or wine. What do I do with that? You have to start planning some time where you're going to not have food and wine and not be relaxed, and then think about what you think about. You're going to have to watch yourself, see what all comes up. Now, that does not, this is what usually people do when they freak out. Like, I'm going to have to give up all the food and wine. Your brain is going to want to go to, it's going to be more than a one night experiment. Here's what I would do. I would plan super realistically and make sure that you're following your plan and you never break your plan. And then what happens is you plan one night where it's like, you know what, tonight is the night I don't drink. Or if it's like, let's say you don't drink every night. Say you only drink like 3 nights a week. Then you're going to have a week where you're only going to do it 2, just to see what happens. You go into it like it's an experiment. Rather than what we normally do is like, I have figured out a problem. I can't relax without food and wine. I got to figure out how to relax, like now. It's like, no, you have to like break it apart in little bitty pieces first. And one of the things too is like, if it wasn't an option and I was going to relax, what would I have to do? Like, let's just say God came down and said, guys, we're done with booze and we're done with fun food. We're just not doing it. I've watched this human race abuse my bounty. We're all going to be eating like onions and potato. Not even a potato. How about onions and broccoli? It's all we get. And I have made it to where you'll be fine. You lived 100. Most of us would have a collective shit fit. But if it was like legit removed and that was all you got, allow your brain to just explore, like, what would I be doing? What would I have to learn? What would I have to start tolerating in my brain? Like, go through that process. This is our May long weekend in Canada. So it's like, I guess it's like our Memorial Day next weekend. So every year we go to our trailer park vacation spot with all our friends and we drink, eat, and party. I'm really struggling with how to make realistic 24-hour plans when I know there will be food and snacks and s'mores everywhere. You should be a lot easier. If you've been going every year, you should know what to expect. I like how your brain is like, this is going to be like crazy and I'm going to struggle. It's like, no, your 24-hour plan should be fucking easy to come up with. You already know what's going to be there. It's not like they're going to hijack you and take you off somewhere and be like, we've never done it this way. Good luck. Not to mention friends just handing you a beer or a glass of wine. Any tricks or advice that I can add to my plans? Plan realistically. Envision right now. How do you want the weekend to go? Here's what you're doing. This is going to be a fucking shit show, so how should I plan? You can't plan for it to be a shit show and you go in worked up like a fool. You need to plan like, all right, this is the May weekend. Here's how I want it to go. And then you make your plan that way. And you make it very realistic. And then you come up with, and when they hand me beer and wine, if it's not on my plan, I'm going to just walk over to a trash can and throw it away. Or I'm going to say, no, thank you. Or I'm going to keep, I had a friend. One time she did something similar. She was going on a weekend. She kept a beer bottle in her hand at all times, but she emptied it and she put water in it. And she was like, a couple people noticed it first, and then they all got drunk and nobody noticed what the hell I was doing. I mean, you could just do that. Do whatever you want. But here's the problem. You're not thinking about what you want. You're thinking about what you don't want. I don't want temptation. Well, guess what, honey? Buckle up. There's going to be temptation. You need to think about, why do you not want temptation? Like, that's the valuable question to ask. Why do I not want to be tempted? It's probably going to come back to because I feel like I'm going to fail. You're already failing now ahead of time. You're already creating failure in advance for yourself rather than sitting up with like setting yourself up for like, how can I best succeed this weekend? What are all going to be all the ways that I can succeed? As far as that beer bottle chick, I know that is a brilliant idea. You can do the same thing with a wine glass, guys. If you get a wine glass, just go find a little like fruit juice somewhere, pour a little in there with some sparkly. People just don't know. Or just, like, you're going to be out in the woods. A red Solo cup. Nobody's going to look down in it, and they ain't going to know what you got. As long as you got your red Solo cup or a beer bottle full of water, you ain't got no problems with people liquor pushing you. you're now just left with your thoughts about wanting to do it because everyone else is doing it. And that's really the problem. It's not that they're going to come up to you. It's you're like, am I going to be able to say no? Say no ahead of time by coming up with strategies. You can do the same thing with a plate of food. Find the shit that you don't like or that you like looks like all the things. Put some of that on your plate that's not as tempting and then just have food that looks like you're still eating sitting there. Once you've reached your two, you're good. Let everybody think you're still eating. Guys, you do not have to make this as complicated as y'all make it. I do strategies like that all the time. Like, I know if I'm going to want fries, sometimes, like, I'll go to, like, we'll go out to eat, and I'll tell Chris, like, I know I'm going to want some French fries, but I don't necessarily want to order an order of fries. And I will just say, like, are you good with tonight me taking, like, 6 or 7 fries off your plate and that just being my serving? And he's usually like, yeah. Or he'll just tell the, like, we go to the same places all the time. He'll say, can I get a few extra fries on my plate? My wife's going to want to eat a few. And they're like, oh, yeah, sure. That prevents me from ordering a whole thing of fries, sitting there, and then having to sit there and be like, well, I need to only eat my two. Well, I only need to do all this. I'm just like, I'm going to set myself up for success ahead of time. Boom and done. I struggle with depression, so when I get in one of my episodes, it's hard for me to stay focused and not just say, fuck it, which happened on Sunday. How do I rebound that when I'm still stuck in my depression and don't have a care mentality? So your first thing is just learning the rebound. Like, I mean, if you're going to be, like, I would just back the truck up. It's like, I no longer am allowed to just, like, to blame my depression for going off the rails. I overeat. I don't get to blame my depression for it. I want to overeat. I don't get to blame my depression for it. Like, you've got to separate that out. You are making a connection that your depression and your eating have something to do with each other. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about this. Is it ever going to serve you? Because if that's the case, then every time you have depression, just like anybody who, every time if you think it, you're sad or you're lonely or you're this, if you commingle that with your eating, then every time those things happen, which are always going to happen in this world, then you're setting yourself up for having to figure out how to not eat rather than setting yourself up for how to just feel. So I just want you to start with, I no longer get to blame my depression. Here, like, you will, like, immediately be able to not shame yourself about the eating if your depression didn't cause it, if it was just a choice. Because you probably have a story around your depression, and then the eating fuels the story. A lot of times when we have depression, we have thoughts that, like, we judge ourselves about it. Like, something's wrong with me. I'm so broken. This is such a blah. Rather than just like, I have depression. I also have some overeats, and I need to decide what the story is going to be. First story, they don't tie together anymore. I may overeat when I'm depressed, but there are also times when I'm not depressed, I overeat. For some reason, I don't blame depression on that. So it obviously just happens sometimes. That means I just choose it. So if it's just a choice, then it's also just a choice to get right back on plan and to figure out why you decided to eat that time. You may have decided to eat because all the things you were thinking about with your depression were so intolerable. You're just like, you know what I want to do? I want to do some eating so that I can start judging myself about eating and not judging myself about the depression. That'll be very convenient. And that's what a lot of us do. So you want to know, like, how do I get back on plan? You got to make a 24-hour plan. You just no longer use your depression as an excuse. Feel bad, sit in bed, cry, have swirly thoughts. But don't use it as an excuse to not be like, you know what, I still have to have my minimum baseline. My minimum baseline is to still make a 24-hour plan regardless of what I ate while I was depressed. That is how you do it. That's how I do it. Any tips on how to lose while on prednisone, which is a steroid for everybody who doesn't know? I've been doing really well with planning, et cetera, but not losing. I'm working on my mindset that I'm doing what I need to be healthy, but I'm frustrated. I have over 100 pounds to lose. Lost 20 since January, but nothing for the last 6 weeks. Robin, the best advice that I have for you when it comes to when you're on steroids is to quit being frustrated you're not losing weight I need you to dial into everything you're doing right. And you're going to need to, you're right now, your payoff and you're frustrated because you think the prednisone is keeping you from feeling like good because of weight loss. You're keeping yourself from feeling good because you're not putting your focus on the healthy habits you're doing. You can't change the weight loss when it comes to steroids. Period. You being frustrated about it, it's just going to make things worse for you. You're going to have to shift your mindset. This is where you're going to have to do, like, I want you to think about, one of these days, I'm going to lose 100 pounds. And I'm not going to have the scale creating good feelings for me. I'm not going to have my weight going down creating good feelings for me. This is the time when I have to really focus on the healthy habits and how I show up for me being the stuff that creates the good feelings for me. It's my job to look at what I'm doing right, not to look at what I wish I had. And that's where you've got to be. Does exercise become something that most people look forward to as they lose weight and it gets more comfortable? I'd love to look forward to it, but cannot imagine that today. Yes. I am one of those people. I actually was doing a Marco Polo this morning. I used to do the beast modes and stuff. And here lately, I have just been, I like my Peloton, but I will tell you my favorite workouts right now. Like, I walked for an hour and a half this morning. I got lost in a book that was so good about this, like all the stuff I'm getting ready to teach you guys, that I just kept walking and walking and walking. And I kept recording little notes for myself and stuff. And those, like, to me, like the best walks. It's like the best form of exercise. I was just like, oh my God, I'm breathing in the fresh air and I'm learning. I literally took a moment to just be like, this is so good. Like, I have this like opportunity in my life to be able to enjoy my experiences, because I used to have like all kinds of stuff that would happen and I would never take the time to enjoy my experiences. It was always just rushing through everything. And like, I'm talking about in the last year, and now I'm doing a lot of like conscious work on like really taking stock of enjoying experiences and creating the story I want around stuff. So like today, like I just couldn't even wait to get out the door because I knew this book was like so good. And it was just like, I have the hard copy. So I was already reading some of it. It's that brain over binge book. So I'm listening to it while I'm also reading it. And, I just was lost in the material. Just, I loved it. I love, I know this is a side note, but I love tying into my exercise something else that I love. It just makes it even better. So for a lot of you, it's, you know, finding things you like. If you love community, that's why group classes tend to work so well for a lot of people, because it's not the class. It's like, I'm banging out my exercise, but I just love being with other people. For some people, they love just having time for themselves, and that's why they like walking. Or they like yoga because it's like a quiet exercise. It's kind of like, it's finding exercise and finding something that you can tie to something you already love too. Makes it even better, and it makes it a lot easier to look forward to it. Any tips for post-workout habit routines? I'm working out again and super sore after workout. Stretch and drink a lot of water and don't short your sleep. If you I lifted weights yesterday and I am sore as a damn boil. And I lift, but I'm not lifting like I used to. And so when I do lift now, I get sore so easy. Like this morning, I was like, oh, really? I'm just walking today and barely even move. But it's like, make sure you get your sleep because your muscles will repair faster. Make sure you drink plenty of water because muscles cannot repair without water. And basically just eat healthy. Fruits, vegetables, proteins. I mean, just the healthier you eat, the more you'll get physical benefits from it. Like you'll see your body change more. You will notice you get stronger faster. The exercise will become a little bit easier. I'm down 38 pounds according to my scale since January. I'm proud of myself. Don't get me wrong. I'm just really seeing the changes other than my face. Clothes fit a little better, but not much better. I just have thoughts that maybe my scale isn't accurate and it's not possible that the number is right. How do I TDL on this thought? I don't think you need to TDL on this thought. I think you need to just tell yourself it's bullshit. It's just your worry that you're not losing, that like you're just interpreting that your clothes not fitting, like you don't know what they're supposed to feel like. And when you lose 38 pounds, guys, it comes off all over your body. Your clothes, if you lose 2 pounds in your face and your neck and your upper shoulders, your clothes aren't going to fit like much different. That's two gone. If you lose some in your feet, Like, we lose weight everywhere. You're going to lose fat around your organs. You're going to lose fat in lots of different places. That doesn't always mean it's coming off where it's going to feel different in a pair of pants. Also, the other thing is sometimes when you have been, depending on what clothes you're measuring by, maybe you don't realize how damn tight they were before you even got started. It's going to take a while before they get to where they're just loose or hanging off of you if you were, you know, barely getting into them. The other thing, too, is if you're used to really loose clothing, like if you were always wearing just like garb like I was, it took me a long time before I could feel it in my clothes because my clothes never constrained me to begin with. Like, I just didn't look that different in them. They always hung. I realized I don't know how to be bored without food. I literally sit there with my leg bouncing. Any ideas about being bored? No, I mean, I think you have to, like, you're just going to need to be there and be, like, bored until your brain comes up with something better to do. Like, you know, like, if you're not going to eat, is there anything else you would like to be doing? And don't do that so that you can, like, here's the thing. You guys have to be getting good at bored, but like if you're not going to, like, let's say that you eat at night because you're bored. Here's the thing. Don't go find something else to do without first experimenting with just being bored and listening to what you think about. Like, figure out what your brain says first. Your brain might be like, you know, you should go eat. We just have nothing in our life. That doesn't mean you need to go do something. It means you need to start taking stock of what you have in your life first. But what do I have? Like, getting really good and aware there. Then what can happen is that if you notice that you're just bored, you'll ask like yourself, well, if I'm not going to be eating, like, I want to start doing more with my life. What is more going to be? Is it reading, studying, taking a class or something? I mean, that is how you do it. But a lot of us just can't be bored. It's like we have to, like, the second you feel bored, it's like I either need to eat or I need to go busy myself with something. And if I busy myself with something, but it doesn't allow me to relax, then I just go eat. It's like maybe you need to be bored a little bit to learn that you're supposed to be relaxing, not just finding things to do. That's why you have to sit with some of these emotions at first, people, to kind of start asking yourself the questions. It's like, am I bored and what am I thinking about? And then allow yourself to, like, question, like, what am I even doing with my life? And rather than, like, saying, what am I doing with my life as if that's a bad thing, so say, like, no, what am I doing with my life? Do I like it? Do I not? Why or why not? If I was going to do more with my life, what would I be doing? And why am I not doing that now? Like, that's how you roll into a lot of the questions and you get beyond just, like, I'm bored and I need to eat. I'm getting better at recognizing my mistake and just moving on. But damn it, if the mistakes don't keep coming. I feel like I'm in a stupid cycle of two steps forward, two steps back, and I'm struggling to get over this hump. Suggestions. You're not going backward, first of all. You have to quit telling yourself that. But the first thing is the reason why you're struggling with mistakes is because you think they set you back. Mistakes never set us back. Mistakes is your brain saying you haven't fixed something yet. Go back to the drawing board. Go back to the drawing board. Go back to the drawing board. That's all it means. You got to keep working on it. But if you keep thinking that somehow it's setting you back, you have to ask yourself, setting myself back from what? It's some expectation you probably have on yourself, which makes it why mistakes are so intolerable. Because if your expectation is way up here and you're making mistakes and making them mean that somehow you're moving further away from your expectations, that's the problem. Expectations are up here. Mistakes are the way to get there. You have to reconstruct that in your brain in order for you to, like, really dig into mistakes. Right now, what a lot of you do is like, all right, I'm not going to beat myself up for mistakes anymore. All right, now we have to start working on, so what am I going to need to be doing to fix those mistakes? Like, is it sitting around? Like that whole deprivation thing. Like, I keep planning at night to not eat at 8 o'clock. But I overeat every night at 8 o'clock. And I'm not beating myself up over it anymore. It's like, okay, so now's the time to either really commit and not eat at 8 o'clock for a night and sit there and let it feel the way it's going to feel and watch yourself do it. Or you're the kind of person that needs to get on that realistic plan bandwagon because you're sabotaging yourself. You think you can't lose weight overeating. So you associate the realistic plan with overeating when it's like, no, the realistic plan is a mirror of what you're doing now. And you don't want to see that. You want to see your dreams and your hopes and your wishes and all of your past bullshit. We need to see reality. It's like turn the volume up on where you're at now, turn down the volume on the future, and turn down the volume on the past. Let's get really aware of this right here. So you have to kind of figure out where you're at. So if you're seeing your mistakes, like the difference between moving on, some of us just like keep making the mistake over and over again. That's not moving on. That's you've ended the part where you are beating yourself up. Moving on means trying something new to see if you can get something else to work. Like, what all are you willing to do? Like, are you willing to not eat tonight, no matter what? Let all the crazy come into your head. Just see how bad it is or how good it is or how it's like, oh, it wasn't nearly as terrible as I kept imagining it to be. I've been imagining so much fear and so much pain and so much discomfort that I'm feeling it ahead of time, but never getting the result because I'm not feeling it in the moment of impact. Is listing 2 to 3 choices for a meal on your 24-hour plan cheating or defeating the entire purpose? I don't think it's cheating. I just think it's harder because then you got to decide then, but it's up to you. Sometimes I write down options. Like I'll have like, I'm either going to have this or I'm going to have that. So that I get the, it's like planned spontaneity, but it's like controlled spontaneity. I'm an April baby. I've been following the 4 basics and have lost nothing, not 1 ounce. I went to the doctor this morning to review my blood work for my hormone panel. My progesterone is very low, for which she prescribed a cream and my inflammation is up. She said that combination would make it challenging at best to lose weight. The doctor suggested I go paleo, no dairy, sugar, or grains. Would the no sugar, no flour course be my next bet? Yeah. As long as you're following the 4 basics and you're not having overeats, April or Allison, I would try it. Especially if it's really important to you. Here's what I would do is I would not buy into the idea. Like, here's the thing. If you can post it in the comments, this will help. If since April you have been following the 4 basics to a T, which means I'm eating 2 to 2, there's been 0 overeats, I've done everything, then yeah, I would for sure try no sugar, no flour. But if you're like saying I'm doing the 4 basics, you know, messing up along the way and overeating and doing all that other stuff, that's not really doing the 4 basics. So guys, there's a difference between doing the 4 basics and learning the 4 basics. Learning means I'm still having some overeats. I'm still exploring. I'm still doing all of this. And that's why I'm not losing weight, because I'm like sometimes following it and sometimes I'm not. And I need to work on the why I'm not doing it stuff. The 4 basics work when you do the 4 basics. The only thing that gets in the 4 basics is when you overeat. That's it. It's the only way they don't work. Because if you're only eating when you're physically hungry, you're stopping before you're full, and you eat only what's on your plan, and you're sleeping and getting water, you lose weight. It's that simple. But if you are overeating while doing the 4 basics, the overeating every single time will cause the 4 basics not to work. It's just like any diet. So like if you're doing Weight Watchers and you're overeating, the Weight Watchers won't work. If you're doing paleo and you're overeating, paleo will not work. If you're doing no sugar, no flour and you're overeating, no sugar, no flour will not work. Nothing works if you're overeating. So that's why we put a heavy focus on solving for the overeating. We have to like learn how to do that. That's why I like to do the 4 basics, because what it does is it's the most uncomplicated way to lose weight, so that it allows you to put so much focus on the overeating part without having like complicated plans, hard rules, forcing you into like, you know, before you understand your relationship with deprivation and you understand your relationship with restriction, it triggers all that. Like if you have something that's crazy, it will trigger you to immediately go into those mindsets. It just makes it harder than it has to be. So I would either start, Allison, like if you want to do No Sugar, No Flour, go take the course. It talks about urges and stuff in there. It's really good. If you want to clean up your overeating first, I think that will be fine too. I'm trying not to be a whiny shit, but I just can't seem to get out of my own head and commit. I know it all starts with a 24-hour plan, but I can't even stay consistent with that. Any suggestions for how to start over and over again? I'm an April baby that's still stuck in April. Well, you're not stuck in April. We're in May. You're right here with us. I mean, part of your problem is you think, I'm going to come back to you, Nicole. Allison is just posting. I don't want it to get away from me. I follow it 95% of the time. Okay, so it's not progesterone and it's not the other stuff. You got to clean up the 5%. Like if you're that close, why not just do the other 5%? This is what slays me. You guys be like, well, I do it 95%. It's the 5% of the time, as if that's okay. It's like you're either doing it 100% or you're overeating. That's how it goes. You cannot let your brain say, well, I do it most of the time. Most of the time don't count. You know why? You're not losing weight. That's why most of the time doesn't count. The 5% is standing in your way as of right now. So it's like, if you're going to be that close, then just be all the way. Don't just be like, I'm just going to kind of get there and stop myself. Just be like, no, I'm going to do it all. My overeats are minimal. My sleep has been erratic, but I think that is hormonal. That's probably hormone. I would blame that more on the hormones. I don't want to buy into the story that it's my hormones, but I do want to lose weight. Here's the thing. Don't blame your hormones for it. This is what I would do. I would just say, I'm working on solving this. You don't have to have a reason for why you're not losing weight. You can just keep saying, I'm working on solving this. Oh, one thing I can be doing right now is putting on my cream, working with my hormones on my sleep, and cleaning up the 5%. It's a total mind shift, right? This is the thing. I don't care if you have steroids. It's just like when I was coaching the other girl who's taking steroids. She can sit there and blame steroids for her weight loss, or she can focus and be frustrated. Just the same thing with hormones. Or both of you can be focused on what you're doing for yourself and putting all your energy and effort into being the best version of you. That's always an option. No different than the people who are sitting around blaming their past. Past, hormones, steroids, all the same. To sit around and try to like blame your past, you can sit around and blame your April, whatever it is, or you can just be like, what am I going to be doing today? What am I putting my focus and my energy on today? If you're putting your focus on your energy on fucking up, guess what? You're going to feel like a fuck up. And people who feel like a fuck up a lot. And then they fuck up their thinking about themselves. It's a big like fuckery right there. Got to stop it at some point. It's not worth it. At some point, you have to tell yourself, this line of bullshit thinking is no longer working. I'm the only one that can stop it. I am deciding right now to stop that shit and get started on the part that feels like shit, but has a result. This beating myself up and starting and stopping shit really sucks for me. I probably shouldn't do that to myself anymore. So like, we go back to Allison. We go back to Nicole. I can't seem to get out of my own head. You're going to have to get out of your own head. You know how you're going to do it? You're just going to say, I'm going to make a fucking plan today. And I'm going to assess at the end of the night, regardless of what happens. And then if I didn't follow that plan, I'm going to ask myself some hard truths. Am I setting myself up for failure because I keep making plans based on the version of me I wish I was? Which is a shitty ass thing to do to yourself? Or am I going to make my plans today and for tomorrow based on the person that I know I can show up as? And along the way, I'm going to ask more of her when she's ready. The moment I quit being so hard on myself about like needing ice cream every day was the damn moment I started losing 100 pounds. That is the secret sauce. You guys keep fighting me on it. It's like you'll say, yeah, I'm doing a realistic plan. You're not doing a realistic plan if you're not eating it every day. That's how I know it's not realistic. It's still judgy as fuck. And it's like, decide right now, do you want to like have the realistic plan that's going to teach you commitment stuff And the only thing that you have to do is like eat the stuff that you want and deal with your drama. Or do you want to plan for perfect or plan for this might be good, but you know, I don't want it to be this good. And then deal with your judgment on why you're not following it. And deal with your inability to get your goals. And never learn how to commit to yourself. And learn how to be a liar to yourself. And learn how to stab yourself in the back day after day after day. And wear yourself down until you learn how to be a quitter. Like, you get to teach yourself anything you want, guys. I'm just going to tell you, the stuff I teach you feels a lot better than what you're teaching yourselves. Stop doing it. So many people have complimented on this top. I'm just going to have to show you. It's a dress. It's driving me crazy. I keep seeing the comments. It's a little dress. It's a Ralph Lauren. It's a t-shirt dress. Well, I don't know if you guys can see it. Here. Woo. Hang on. You remember when I was telling you that I get dizzy? It's one of those moments. Let me see if I can turn this camera around. And I don't normally wear dresses, but I'm wearing one. Well, my belt's coming undone. It's normally more cinched up. It should look better, but oh, there you go. But yes, that's my dress. I got it at the Vero Beach Outlet Mall at the Ralph Lauren store. If anybody's asking. I had a traumatic thing that happened to me when I was young, maybe 8 to 10 years old, and I'm now 45 and just wondering how to TDL on it. I did one TDL, but not sure I did it right. This is something I've never talked to anyone about it and hold it all in. You just want to talk to yourself about it. You want to write it out as it happened, and you want to like ask yourself, like, how, like, do I want to keep thinking about it? Why am I hanging on to this in my life? What am I making it mean today? Allowing yourself to kind of come like through that stuff. One of the things, if you will get that Food and Feelings workbook, they talk about the past in there, I believe. There's something that I just read recently that deals with the past. But one of the things that you can do is you can write a letter to yourself. So there's a couple things you do. You can rewrite the past and you can make it like if I wasn't going to describe it as traumatic, if I was just going to now start describing it as something that happened, I think for you, it's like setting a, like, do I want to keep thinking this is traumatic? A lot of times when we have like rape and incest and things like that happen, we want to hang on to that. It must be so bad. It must be traumatic. The problem with that thought line is that if it's jacking you up today, it's not a good thought line for you. It doesn't mean that you have to excuse what happened in the past or anything. It just means you don't have to like shit all over your life today based on something that's already happened. You allow yourself to move on from something. So you just start getting to the point where you're like, that happened, but I have a life now that I'm going to have to live, and I'm going to have to start relearning how to think about my current life, because that can no longer hurt me unless I bring the hurt on myself. And a lot of times that is what, that's what you have to do. Kathy, I know we have some coaching calls on rewriting your past and dealing with past and stuff. Jenny, I would watch a couple of those coaching calls because I have done some work with other people and stuff like that. Can you talk a little bit more about putting pen to paper? There are a few in our accountability who have done no BS, but they haven't written anything in the workbook. Can you talk a little bit about doing the work versus just passive listening? Yeah, I mean, I just think it's a lot better if you do the worksheets because it's going to require you to think a little bit on a deeper level. But it's also some people can just listen and start. Here's the thing. Here's how you know if you're passive listening. Passive listening is listening and then not doing anything. Doesn't mean doing worksheets. It means like if you listen to me say, like, all right, we're going to like work on our hunger scale this week. And I talk all things hunger scale and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh, that's so good. Like, gosh, he's on fire. Holy shit. I never heard it talked about that way. And then everybody talks about it, but nobody does anything with their hunger scale all week. That's passive listening. And also worksheets can be passive too. A lot of people will do a lot of worksheets. Like recovery worksheets tend to be one of the most passively used things we have. People will do a lot of recovery worksheets. They will talk about how many they've done and this is amazing and stuff, and nothing changes. That's because they're passively doing the worksheets. They're doing the part where they're uncovering, but they're not doing the part where they stop the eating and letting it play out. Like, you know, like how many times have you done a recovery worksheet and the same shit keeps happening? So I want to know how many times have you actually not ate to see what will happen? Like, taking action means setting yourself up for something and you're going to keep doing it and doing it and doing it. Say, like, every night, I'm not going to eat at 8 o'clock. It's passive to say I'm not going to eat at 8 o'clock at night and write it on my 24-hour plan. It's massive to, at 8 o'clock, get the food out and look at it sitting in front of you and not eating it. That's massive action. It's massive. Like, if you normally go to the pantry at 8 o'clock at night or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, massive action is actually going into the house, standing there and telling yourself, we're not eating. We're going to look at it. That's massive action. Passive action is saying, I'm not going to eat. I'm going to make my 24-hour plan and I'm going to do a recovery worksheet. If I don't do that, that's passive. You're not really doing it. You're doing things, but you're not doing it. So, like, massive action usually feels like shit. That's how you know you're taking massive action. So, now when it comes to the No BS worksheets, guys, the only ones I put in there are the ones I think you should be doing. I think they're going to, like, uncover things for you. I think they're going to teach you things. I think they're going to bring awareness to you and all this other stuff. But some of you literally can listen to the podcast, like the private member podcast. You can listen to coaching calls. And you'll start doing new things in your life. And that's fine. The key is now you're doing something. I hope that makes sense. I'm so afraid of being thin. I start sabotaging immediately when I get to Wonderland. Yeah, Brenda, you got to figure out why. You need to take that to Ask Coaching. You need to figure out why are you so afraid to be thin. What's the worst that's going to happen underneath 100 pounds or underneath 200? Where's your brain going? It's sabotaging because somehow it thinks that being under 200... is scary for some reason. Like, what's going to happen to you under 200? And whatever's going to happen is what you're worried about and which will keep you from getting there. Because the closer you get, the more reminder you're going to have internally of this is coming, this is coming, this is coming. Wondering if you should just focus on the four basics until you have it down completely before you move on. You can, but you don't have to. I don't think there's anything wrong, guys. Like, this is how I would do it. This is how I do all my programs when I have a teacher like me and stuff, is I will do, like, the basic stuff that I'm supposed to be doing, and then I just listen to everything else, and I super absorb everything. But I, like, figure out what is the core. So, like, in PNP, for you guys, the core, like, the core work is doing the four basics. If you didn't do anything else in PNP, but make those 24-hour plans every day, follow up with your assessment. If you paid attention to your hunger scale every single meal without fail, drank your water and prioritized your sleep, if you didn't do another worksheet, you didn't do anything else, that is enough massive action to lose weight. Then listen to everything else. And let it plug in holes. Let it marinate in your brain. Let the moments of insight be like, oh, and this will make making the this will make me help me follow my 24-hour plan even better. And this is what I absolutely needed to hear to give me that little bit more motivation to just say no to something today. That's how it, like, all supports the four basics. I build everything out in PNP. Everything as a construct to be surrounding the 24-hour base, the four basics. The breadth of PNP is the four basics. And everything else we do is to make those easier and easier to follow. Okay? All right, guys, that's it. I will, see y'all tomorrow at noon Central Time on Friday for the Weekend Motivator. And again, if you are wanting to come to the 3-day in August, 3 spots remain for the 3-day. It's getting real now. All right, guys, y'all have a good one. I'll talk to you soon. Bye, y'all.